Nine.
What time? Very, very early in the morning.
Well, I'm good, you're off. We were on.
I was.
Yeah.
It feels like 7 o'clock in the morning. Yeah.
Did you get the?
It's 9 o'clock, and y'all called me on.
Could be 7. I take the notes for you.
Howard. Beckett.
Here.
Bensel.
Here.
Carter.
Here.
Jay.
Here.
Knox.
Here.
Kurt.
Here.
Langenheim.
Here.
O'Connor.
Here.
The approval of the agenda.
So moved.
Second.
Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed? Okay, need approval of the minutes from February 6th.
So moved.
Second.
Any discussion or correction? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any public participation? Okay, well, we'll put monthly reports and our motion to place and put on file.
Move to approve and place on file.
Second.
Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
There's been just put on there. Quick discussion on wind farms. Been working with John Hall on the development of his ordinance as well as the timing of the road use agreement that will be put in place in reference to the wind farms. Had discussions with the county engineer from McLean County, been up to Bureau County where they have a number of wind farm developments. I think there's four or five up in Bureau County. And have a lot of examples to go by for the road use agreements on these projects. I just received a map from John Hall this morning that kind of shows the proposed development of this California Ridge Wind Energy Center, which is basically over just north of Royal in Ogden Compromise Township. I just got this morning. I didn't have a chance to make a whole bunch of copies, but I'm sure you guys will see it in the future. Just wanted to let you know that I am working with John. The very important thing about these road use agreements is that the county not issue a special use permit or conditional, whatever the wording is, conditional use permit prior to the road use agreement being signed in place by these wind people, because if we allow them to get their permit, and then all of a sudden now the only thing holding them back is the road use agreement, then a lot of the pushing and shoving that these wind farm developers do no longer goes through any other means except through the county engineer, and all of a sudden they feel like they have this great power because they've been assigned a permit to build this thing, but the county engineer hasn't signed a road use agreement. We're also going to be working with the two townships, Compromise and Ogden Township, in conjunction with Pilot Township over in Vermilion County to make sure that all of our road use agreements mirror each other so that we're not doing anything different between townships and counties. So the road use agreement ends up being about a 20 or 30 page agreement because of the humongous amount of equipment and trucks and so forth that they bring into the area to build one of these things. I mean, the cranes that they bring in are 200 tons, so it's 400,000 pounds going down the roads to move these towers around. And it's my understanding that once they get going on construction, you almost have to have somebody on site from the county making sure that the roads and everything is taken care of the entire time that they're doing the work, whether it be a staff person or you hire a outside consultant to do that work for you, but all of those costs are typically put into the road use agreement and they're paid for by the wind farm development. So we'll be looking at doing that once we get the road use agreement kind of formulated and start working on that.
Okay, Alan?
Yeah, Jeff. Well, in talking with McLean County and these other counties, do they have the similar type of agreement with the wind farm developers on these roads?
Yeah. Everybody has a road use agreement. It's just a matter of how stringent, how tight, and how well they're developed. We've got a letter of engagement with a lawyer, Cheryl Kuzma, who has done a number of these road use agreements up in Bureau County, or is a specific county that I don't know of that she's done them in, but she has a wealth of knowledge in how to develop these things and make sure that the interest of the county is put first before the interest of the developer.
Are you going to use the model ordinance that they use in McLean County, or are we going to be more stringent?
We're going to develop our own.
Are you going to use that as a model?
I'm sure we'll pull parts out of that. Bureau counties is a lot better than McLean counties
is.
Yeah.
Because we took a tour, right, Farm Bureau of the other wind farms in McLean, and from what I could tell, Verizon did a great job of improving the roads, actually,
right,
after the work was done. But during the work, there was they were very clear on how messed up the roads were, if you want to call it that. But that they can we use that type of an agreement that allowed McLean County to put up the wind farms but didn't put a roadblock in their way?
Basically, the agreement says that during construction, all the roadways are, you know, especially the township roadways, are going to, you know, turn to whatever they turn to. But
because they're going to have to put in a lot of gravel and stuff for the weight. They understand that because they've done that before.
It's the developer's responsibility to make sure that the roads are open to public travel during the entire construction process. And it's also very important that you put in there that farm implements, school buses, and the traveling public have the right to use the road, and the wind farm people.
Emergency vehicles.
Got to get out of the way when those types of occurrences have to happen. They're not the user that has the most importance on that road. So it'll, I'm sure there'll be a lot of pushing and shoving. These wind farm folks obviously want to do it the easiest and.
Well, we certainly want to protect our interests. I understand that. But I don't want to put such an emphasis on it that it forces them to make other decisions,
right,
rather than decide to work here in Champaign County.
I understand that fully. The lawyer that we've had this letter of engagement was very very pointed about saying that, you know, these wind farm people will threaten you that they're going to leave if you try to be too stringent. But the fact of the matter is that the resource is here, the ridge, the wind.
Right.
And another developer will come in and develop that resource if this one walks away. So you don't want to give up the farm just to get them here.
As far as I can tell, there's at least four or five that are buying for and then have signed leases already. About 75% of those approached to the Farm Bureau have already signed leases with the wind developers, and really what we're waiting for now is this ordinance to be completed.
Well, they're proposing 135 towers. 55 of them are.
I'm sorry.
135 towers in this California Ridge development. About 55 of them look to be in Champaign County, and the other 80 look to be in Vermilion County.
What is the timeline on getting this ready?
Does
it have to go to ZBA like it, the rest of the ordinance?
I don't know the process. Has to go to the county board, obviously, but I don't know the process of the approval of the road use agreement.
Okay.
I just talked to John Hall, and he said, you know, there's another public meeting.
Well, wait, there's another one next Thursday.
He didn't think that would be the last one. Probably there'd be another one. So
yeah, there was one scheduled for 2 weeks.
So we're looking at developing the road use agreement based on what I heard from John this morning during the late spring, the early summer months, and then possibly they would start construction in the fall.
Okay.
So, Graham? I presume there will be a regulation written into it regarding the condition of the substrate. In other words, they can't do it in spring thaw and when the ground's soaked and so forth, or not.
I don't know how you can do that, to be honest with you. I mean, what we're going to do is we're going to go out and Applied Research Associates, which is another item on this agenda, but it's totally separate from this one. We will hire them to go out and do a full-blown inventory of all the roadways that are going to be impacted by the wind farms. They'll have to give us a map of their potential traffic impacts on the roadways and show us their movements during the construction of the wind farms. We'll go out and do video scanning. We'll do strength tests on all the roadways that are going to be affected by the wind farm. And then once the construction is done, we'll go back and reevaluate those roadways. And the roadways will either have to be as good or better than they were when they started.
Well,
but I don't know that we can say they can't do anything in March, April, and May.
Well, the reason I ask is from experience in watching oil wells being drilled and dealing with that, they were restricted, seasonally restricted, or restricted according to the measured condition of the substrate, in other words, saturation. And of course, it's to the advantage of a person that's moving the heavy equipment not to get out into one of those situations. I'm just wondering if there's anything written in on that or will be.
We don't post. That'll be my roads, the county roads, I should say our roads. We're going to be okay. It's the township roads and the township officials that are going to have the major problems on the roadways when it comes to moving the heavy equipment.
Well, will the county be concerned with that? Are we going to say, okay, this is thaw time, you're not to move a 200-ton truck down this county highway?
I'd have to look at the other road. I haven't looked that far into the road use case for that particular
road. It's a very real problem.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Okay, I'm just curious.
So what they've done in McLean County and some of the other counties, the wind farm developers have actually come in and built the roads with a heavy gravel base prior to coming in and moving all that equipment. Yeah. Instead of tearing up the road and then rebuilding it, actually come in and put down a foot of rock prior to the construction of the wind farm so that the roadways are already built up to strength before they start using them, instead of just tearing them up and letting them go to mud, basically, during the construction process.
Yeah.
Okay. I've actually been working on professionally on the insurance for one of the contractors that's done all the street and road work for a lot of these wind farms. He's told me that they do exactly what Jeff said. They come in, they core drill, they do whatever it takes. They add gravel base, make them as thick as they need to carry the load. At the end of the project, they come in and they ask the county or the township what they want done with it. If they want the rock back out of there, they strip it back out, put it back to what it was. If they want the good road that was put in for this, they simply tar and chip it or whatever it was before to bring it right back. The roads are in far better shape when they're done than they are right now.
Yeah, I would imagine so. Because they're not built to carry that kind of load.
No.
And it's not only the construction process, but go up to Bureau County and the multitude of these things that they have. They're in there maintaining them all the time. It's not like once that stuff pulls out, it's gone forever. These towers have to be maintained over their life, whether, the turbines go bad or one of the blades goes bad or something happens. They're in there. At least the guy from Bureau County said once a week working on one of the towers doing something to them. They still have to bring the heavy equipment back in. So the roadways, in my opinion, need to be strengthened and less strengthened so that they can reuse them over the life.
Well, they're not going to take a chance on having some kind of an accident with their equipment. They've been through this before, and from their past experience, they pretty well know what they have to do to keep the roads in condition so that their equipment can get in.
Right.
And if that's true, then certainly when they finish the job, normally they wouldn't need that heavy equipment after they've erected the wind turbines, unless they're going to replace a blade or something like that. But
well, when
normally
it disintegrates, they'll have to go in there.
Then they would just go back in and repave or regravel those roads again if they needed to, and then replace them again afterwards.
And they put in these gigantic radiuses. I mean, I saw one of these blades going down Highway
74
yesterday. In order to get around the corners on these township roads, they put in huge gravel radiuses.
Right.
Obviously, when they put in their field entrances going in to build the towers, those are gigantic. They have a laydown area that is acres of gravel, that they lay all of their, and do all their staging and lay all of their equipment and their pieces to build the towers down on. So it's quite an undertaking. It's a lot more than just the roadways, and they have to bore the roadways to get the power lines out of the wind turbines. So it's new culverts. We have to evaluate the bridges to make sure that the bridges are able to carry the loads. Oftentimes, the bridges either have to be strengthened or they have to find another way to go around that structure during the time of construction because the bridges will not hold the types of loads. And those 200-ton cranes, they said they may move them three or four times a day because they'll go over and work on one tower, get a piece up and get the guys working on it, and then the crane will move out and go to another tower. So that's why you really got to have somebody out there while they're moving to work to make sure that they're, number one, moving on the roadways they said they were going to move on. They're not impeding traffic. They're boring the roads properly. They're putting in the pipes properly. They're putting down the gravel properly. All the things that, you know, protecting basically the, you know, the people of Champaign County. So it's going to be a huge time commitment from our office. And it's not a time commitment that I can just take out of our regular staffing and put somebody out there because we just don't have
it. Can we put those dollars into that agreement?
Absolutely.
I think that's what we should do because they have a pot of money
right.
to cover that kind of contingency.
Yep.
Jeff, we had a letter in the mail about the wind turbine. I don't know if you've seen that or not.
No, I haven't seen that.
Okay, because they're not saying too good, you know, anything really too good about the wind farms.
Yeah, there's a lot about Bureau County and some of the failures that they've had on the turbine. Apparently, these things get struck by lightning quite often because they're so high in there, and the only thing you can pick it up when you're out there. The wrappings that they put on the blades will, you know, whatever they wrap those with, I suppose it's kind of the same stuff they wrap an airplane with, it may come off and start failing and unwinding, and they have to go in and put a new blade on. There's quite a bit of maintenance that happens on these things. You don't just put them up and walk away, and they turn in the wind for 40 years and generate electricity. So it's a long-term commitment by the county as well as the wind farm people to make sure that things are done properly.
Now, they also said some, they're taking over some of the land from the farmer. And will the farmers be protected, the ones that allow the seminary?
That's not mine.
That's outside
of that's up to the farmer and the agreement. You're talking about the farmland? That would be up to the farmer and the developer. I think we should leave that to them, their discretion. We have to just work with what's ours, the county's responsibility when it comes to the farm. I think the farmer has the right to make his decision with the wind developer.
My interest is going to be in the...
What's that?
My interest is in the roads. And
absolutely.
The
right.
I'll leave it up to the P&Z to do all of the zones and all that stuff. But just want to let you know that we are working together with John to make sure that we're on the same page, and he's been bringing his permit and all the language in it back and forth between you and I to make sure that we agree on the language that's in there.
Okay, any more discussion?
All right, moving on. A resolution appropriating $50,000 in county bridge funds for design engineering for the North Lincoln Avenue Bridge. This is a project that is in the final range of engineering. North Lincoln Avenue, which is out there by the UPS is out there and Molson Coates out there. A bridge that's almost in failure mode.
Really?
The state has come out and inspected it and it's close to having to be posted. But we've been working on the design of it. We actually have federal dollars in order to replace the bridge. And it's a joint project, it's a federal aid project, so 80% of the money is coming from the Federal Bridge Replacement Program, and 20% of the money is coming from that other 20% is 10% from the City of Urbana, 10% from our Township Bridge Program, which is used to build township bridges that's funded through the state for our motor fuel tax. The Summer Township Highway Commissioner came to me last month and said that their bridge fund is nearing being broke, and they were set up to split the engineering costs for the preliminary engineering on the project with Urbana. The county is basically not putting any money into the project. In order to make sure that the project gets built in a timely manner, the Township Highway Commissioner has signed an agreement that we would front the remaining preliminary engineering cost to Soderman Engineers on behalf of Summer Township, and we're estimating that to be about $50,000. And then over 5 years, they would pay back to the county the sum that it cost us, you know, so it would be roughly $10,000 a year over 5 years. So this is the resolution appropriating the money for that agreement as the county bridge fund. So eventually we'll get this money back. We're just bringing it in the meantime.
Move approval.
Second. Also, discussion.
Just a quick question.
Yeah.
This is already approved. Stimulus package would have no, or can we use any of the stimulus package?
Since it's already federally funded,
I see. Okay.
It doesn't really do us a lot. What you can't do with stimulus money is match federal money. And this is a
has to be brand new
federal job.
Okay.
You can't bring the stimulus money in to get your other 20%.
Right. Okay.
So this job doesn't really have any way of using that money.
Thank you.
The project was on the list, though, wasn't it?
This was on the list, yeah.
Yeah.
It was on the list. They wanted shovel-ready projects. And
yeah,
this was
sure.
a project
yeah,
that could be shovel-ready in 120
but
days.
But it got turned down.
Right.
Because
had they said, well, instead of using your federal bridge replacement money, which is somewhere to the tune of probably $800,000 of allocated money to the county, you know, that we get on a periodic basis, if we could have replaced that money with stimulus money, then we would have been able to use that $800,000 somewhere else.
Yeah, sure.
But, you know, that money through the COOTS process, the $4.1 million is now being distributed in other ways through Windsor and those kind of projects.
Okay, any more discussion? All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed?
The next item on the agenda, this goes back to 2006, 2007, when we did the original contract with Applied Research Associates to do our pavement management system. We had talked about back then of doing a long-term contract with them to do the work for our pavement management system, and this is a follow-up to that. We have a contract now, and I think you have a copy of it, for pavement management between ARRA. And this money is to be appropriated, but to be used, as you'll see in the second page, you know, 2009 through 2013. So it's a five-year commitment of the money through the appropriation. And what they'll do is basically the same thing that they've done for us every other year. They'll go out, run the roads with the rolling weight deflectometer. They'll camera all the roads. They'll do all the testing. They'll come up with a value for the condition rating of all the roadways in Champaign County. And this system is actually going to be web-based now. Instead of us having to house it on our server in Champaign County, they're going to house it on their server. We'll access it through the internet with a password into ARRA's server so that we don't have to maintain it, basically. So what they'll do is... every other year, they'll run it, and then on the middle years, they'll just do the evaluations and the reports for us to get us, you know, what should we be doing in 2010, 2011, 2012, to make sure that, you know, we're doing the proper maintenance on the right roads at the right time so that we're spending our money wisely. I think Mr. Beckett brought this up at the board meeting that we should look into a long-term contract with these folks, and so we've done that. I think it's... I know it's a lot of money, $290,000, but the money that we'll save in the development of the maintenance of our roadways and the long-term use of our roadways far exceeds the money that we'll have to pay in order for them to do the project over 5 years.
Do we own the data?
I'm sorry.
Second. Do we own the data?
Yes.
Even though it's housed on there?
Yes.
They won't hold it at the end of this and say...
Didn't they say something about the data in here that was...
It's outdated.
Okay. Are these the only firms that can do this?
They're the only firm that has the rolling weight deflectometer
Are they the only firm that can do roadway management analysis?
Absolutely not.
Because I got called the last time we did this by a firm, and they were not happy.
DRI probably.
I don't remember.
Environmental, engineering. Yeah, they're not the only firm that can do this. They're the one that, when we had the federal money, and we did an experimental project with them, they're the one that we chose because they are the only one. And I know, you know, you can talk to engineers and they'll tell you that their system's as good as Applied Research.
Right, and I don't have a clue. This is Southern for making that sales pitch to me. So.
But they don't have the technology that these folks do with this rolling lake deep light downer. There is nobody else in the world that can do what they're doing for us. There is other people that can use other means to try to get to the same end, but it's not the same technology as we have right now.
First, in response to what Greg brought up, it's always a concern if we engage and contract with a professional whether or not we ought to issue an RFP and let other potential professionals respond, evaluate the RFP, and award the contract, you know, through that RFP process. We do have the right under the statute, if we have a background and excellent experience with a professional, to enter into a contract with a professional without using the RFP process. That would be for the committee and the board ultimately, I suppose, to decide whether or not the committee in the first instance, whether we want to go ahead and accept the contract or, you know, sort of publish the contract and let other professionals respond and see what they can do. I imagine that the, and I don't know this for sure, I'd have to rely on Jeff based on what he just said, the other competing firms probably can't do the computer aspect of it that these folks can. But it's funny that you asked that other question because that was the same question that occurred to me. Who owns the data? If something happens to Applied Research Associates, do I have access, you know, to the data?
Yeah,
so the question I was going to ask of Jeff was to make sure that our attorney, you know, vets this contract before it would be presented at full board if the committee decided that we ought to go ahead with it. Those of you who weren't on the committee when they made their presentation before, John will recall, I mean, this is bells and whistles. This is an unbelievable program with better data than we can get by walking along every mile of our roadway, looking at it visually. It was absolutely amazing. It was truly an impressive project with impressive results. So I do support the contract, but I certainly understand everybody's reservations. There's a savings in here because of the way they manage the data and have it accessible to us. If we had to have the technology to store and analyze the data on our own computer system, we'd have to have our own software programs, and you know that would be something else that we'd have to do, and being an additional cost to us. So that's my feeling about it.
And the $80,000 per year, that's the same cost that they did it for back in 2007. So they haven't increased their cost. They don't increase it through the life of the contract either. It stays the same.
I question the timing of it. Do you really need to have this done every other year? Or does the conditions change that much out there?
Yeah, I mean, if you're gonna do the what-if scenarios and do the matrices that they have on here, the crack formation and the deformation in the roadway, as well as, you know, we'll do seal coats periodically in that 2 years. We'll do overlays, so they need to come back and reevaluate the maintenance that we've done on the roadway to make sure that their model, let's say we do a seal coat or we do crack sealing or we do a microsurfacing or we do an overlay, make sure that the longevity of those particular applications is actually meeting what they predict is going to happen in the model. If we're doing a seal coat and their model says it's supposed to last, you know, 7 or 8 years, and they come back over, you know, a 4-year span, and that seal coat is starting to come undone and not do the things that it does, that it's supposed to do, then we're going to have to realign the model to what's actually happening in Champaign County.
So there's not that much stability in the dynamics of the system. In other words, you can't say that this, we put this stuff down, we ought to look at it, next year, the year after, the year after, or is it every 5 years or every 2 years or every 1 year? That's the question I'm asking.
Well, this is on a 2-year reevaluation of the project.
And so you really feel that that's absolutely necessary?
I do.
Okay,
and
that's kind of because it is a fair amount of money.
It is a fair amount of money. I can totally agree with that. I will say that as Mr. Beck has said, the technology in this thing, I haven't done, but ARRA has done presentations out in Washington, D.C. on this pavement management system because it is very unique for a county to use a going weight deflectometer. And there are a lot of people in the country, and there was articles written in major publications about the use of this pavement management system in Champaign County and the tools and the different information that you can get out of it. So
Remember, I wanted them to pay us.
Yeah, royalties. Yeah, yeah. So we are a little bit ahead of the curve. There's not too many other counties in the country that are doing what we're doing here, too.
But it is spreading.
Yes,
so
it is spreading.
So the business is growing.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Okay.
The good thing is they're right here. I mean, this company is in Champaign, but they go worldwide. They go across the seas. To do these types of pavement management systems.
Well, it's a neat system. I'm impressed with it. I'm just concerned about a little bit about the necessity to keep that close a watch on something which is as inert as a paved highway.
Right. But you have to get the development of the data over a period of time to get those curves and to get your matrices figured out so that you can see what's really happening on your roads. If you only do it every 5 years, you just kind of have bumps, and then you get, you know, when you graph it, you have a bump up here and then a bump down here instead of having a good curve to follow to look at how your roadways are reacting. I know you're smiling, but you understand what I'm saying.
Yes, I do.
Yes, he does.
it's a risk you don't want to take.
Right.
You're more comfortable with it. It would probably work at a slower pace, right?
I wouldn't say it probably work. I'm much more comfortable with this layout so that you can get
a 3-year cycle, maybe.
The standard in the industry is 2 years. That's why we're going with it.
All right.
Go ahead, Lynch. Keep going. You guys have a very interesting conversation. I would tell you. I have a question. We're appropriating all $290,000,
mm-hmm.
even though it's over a 5-year period.
Right.
Do we give them the $290,000 now? How did we break it down, $80,000 and $209,000? Where did that money come out of?
The budget.
I see that. I'm just saying, once we appropriate the $290,000, we can't touch that $290,000 for five. It's gone in 5 years.
We won't spend it. It'll just be appropriated through the eyes of
okay.
IDOT.
So
we won't actually spend it. You'll see in my budget, like next year, I'll have $35,000 or whatever the number is in 2010 in the budget for this project.
Okay.
So the money will be set aside and it'll be sitting there waiting to be spent, but we won't spend
until
it.
We get invoices from them to what their costs are. Could they be lower than what we have here?
No, those are the fixed costs.
Usually right on the number?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, they won't go up either. That's a good thing. We're locked in.
Locked into these numbers.
That's why we're doing a 5-year contract.
Laura?
Yes.
Denzel?
I didn't have anything.
Okay, any more discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed?
I wish we'd put this on the regular agenda, though. I realize we're not the consent agenda, and I wish we'd have our lawyers look at it.
I sure will. Would you like people from Applied Research to be at the county board meeting to answer questions, or
probably not
sure
a bad idea. Probably not a bad idea.
Okay.
Right. It wouldn't hurt to give a thumbnail sketch of what's actually going on, because the board at large probably isn't aware of how this works, and it is a very something they should understand, or
right.
at least be it.
And a lot of that information, if they take time to read it. Is in the Exhibit A scope of services and schedule that kind of shows exactly what they do. And actually, these pictures and these matrices and these graphs are from our county specific. They're not just generic ones that they pulled out of some other pavement management system.
Yeah.
These are actually data from our system. But, they did Was it just at Highway Committee, or did they give a presentation to the full board when we did this originally?
I don't remember.
I think it was full board.
I would say yes, you did.
Good answer. Good answer. Well, I'll have them at the board meeting about this. And you know, they can talk a lot more engineering jargon about this than I can do for a living. So, all right. So this will be on the regular. Right.
At the meeting.
Yeah. I just couldn't remember if it was full board or the Highway Committee. Okay. D, resolution, and here was another resolution appropriating money for engineering services. I know that's kind of the theme of the day. This is for the Maplewood Bridge, which I gave you a map, printed out a map there of the location of that bridge. That's actually near the village of Rantoul. Maplewood Drive is up there by the Brook Hill Golf Course. It is County Road 55. This bridge is actually at the point where it has to be posted, and we have gone up and posted it due to the delamination of the concrete underneath the bridge and the rusting of the rebars. I just found out a couple days ago that this project will be put on to the five-year plan for major bridge programming. I applied for a grant to replace this bridge, and major bridge program basically means any bridge is going to cost more than $1 million to replace, and this bridge is going to be very close to $1 million, so I applied for a grant to FHWA to replace this bridge. They haven't actually published who's going to receive that money, but through my contacts at IDOT, they said that when that publication comes out, that this bridge project will be in that grant. So this is the actual engineering fees and services to do the engineering to replace that bridge. So you'll see it's $125,000. Usually engineering is roughly 10% of the total cost of the bridge. So the grant will be typically 80 or 90% federal dollars, and then we'll have to match it with local money once the project comes to fruition and we start to build it. But this is a engineering services agreement with Fraunhofer and Associates, which is a local engineering firm, to do the design work on that project.
So moved.
Second.
Discussion. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed?
Just one last thing. Mr. Weibel was not able to be with us this morning, and he gave this to Tiffany, and I'm supposed to read this. Is this right, Tiffany?
You don't have to read it to the committee. It was just for you, I think.
Okay, apparently there's some Diesel Emission Reduction Act where Illinois is going to receive between $6 and $12 million for clean diesel projects. And there's a way to apply for this, and I'm not sure if we put into it, but it says replacing engines and vehicles. Funding will be provided for diesel oxidation catalysts. We'll look into it to see if there's any way that
can you replace some of our trucks?
Well, I think it looks like it's just for replacing the emissions type stuff on the trucks, because there's a new emission standard that's coming into play this year for diesel vehicles, which is making the cost of the vehicle go up some $45,000. And apparently this is for retrofitting in place, or you know, things that are in place right now and being used so that they meet the new emission standards. But I'll look into that and see if there's any way the county can get some money. Other than that, I don't have anything else.
Okay, did you have a thing, sir?
No, no, I'm good.
Okay, just going to all the business.
I'm good.
All the business now. Semi-annual review of the closed session meeting.
We need to defer this. We need to defer that to next month.
Okay.
Well, I'm sorry.
Tiffany.
Are we deferring it because it's going to the state's attorney?
Because the attorney has not had a chance to review and give a recommendation yet.
Steve.
So every committee I was at in one form or another this week, the same thing happened. And
right.
Is this an automatic agenda item because of the timing?
There's an ordinance playing out.
There's an ordinance that says right.
Okay. And then the state's attorney's office doesn't know?
They do. They've just switched from one attorney to another, and this
okay.
is the first time doing it, and he's just
catching up.
Hit them with
okay,
all this.
Thank you.
Okay. The consent agenda, we have two items that will be D and B. Anything else to go in front of the committee? If not, we're done.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's a good one.
Any of you guys got a full fever about it?
I'll give you a ride. I'm going to the courthouse. Is that anywhere near where you
well,
go?
Well, I'm down about a half mile south. I'm in Vermont.
What's that? Hey, look.
Down south of Carl Park.
I'll give you a ride, and then I'll come back.
Okay.
I want to go there. I need to go to the courthouse.
We put one car in there.
Okay.
Right, and they
yeah,
repaired. The wife's driving
up. Well,
it's
okay.
Well,
I'll
give it. So, for example, I'm a good guy. Won't cost you that much.
Having a beer.
Don't
the charge charges.